You thought I was leaving, didn't you? You thought I was checking out. You're done already. We're not quite done. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to Jeremiah 44. Last week, we looked at the letter of Jeremiah to those captives who had already been taken captive to Babylon. We called it Detours in Life. Today, we're going to look a little further down that road, that path in Jeremiah. And today's, we're going to look at Jeremiah's advice to those remnant Jews who are now thinking about and ending up eventually in Egypt. The time now is somewhere around just after 586 BC, because that's when Nebuchadnezzar crushed Jerusalem, killed thousands, carried thousands into captivity into Babylon, and left a few of the poorest of the poor in Jerusalem. And so there was a few people roving around Israel. Even when you read Jeremiah 40 through late 40s, you will see there was people even starting to migrate back into Israel from places like Moab. And so there was a few still around after 586, after the Jerusalem walls had come down, the temple had come down, and most of them were carried away. There was still a few people around. In Jeremiah 52, you can see what happened to King Zedekiah in 586 BC when the walls came down of Jerusalem and the temple came down. It wasn't a pretty sight. Because, I guess if you read through Jeremiah and you see, it was because of the continued fear of the Babylonian army and Nebuchadnezzar that some of these remnant Jews decided, we need to have protection, and the only place we're going to find protection is in Egypt. And so, in chapter 42 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah sought the Lord for direction, as he had been asked by these remnant Jews about going to Egypt. The Lord said no. In Jeremiah 43, those desiring to go to Egypt anyway told Jeremiah, you haven't really heard from the Lord, you're just lying. We're going anyway. That brings us to Jeremiah 44. They are in Egypt. There's captives in Babylon. There's many thousands, tens of thousands that have died. And there's captives that have been taken away in three different carryings into Babylon. But there are also this group of remnant Jews in Egypt. Jeremiah 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt. Verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. You have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no one dwells in them. Because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they did not know, they, nor you, nor your fathers. However, God continues with his letter to the people in Egypt, however, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness to burn incense to other gods. Verse 6, God continues on, so my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day. I know we've got a fair amount of verses here, but I'm setting the stage for where we're going, so bear with me. Verse 7, now therefore, thus says the Lord God, the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against yourselves to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant out of Judah, leaving none to remain? In that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt where you have gone to dwell, that you may cut yourselves off and be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. God continues, verse 9. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? He's asking them to remember. They're in Egypt looking for the Egyptians' help, not listening to the Lord. Lord said, don't go there. Jeremiah said, don't go there. And he's reminding them, have you forgotten what's happened in Jerusalem? And have you forgotten why it's happened in Jerusalem and in Judah? They had not humbled themselves, verse 10 says, to this day, nor have they feared. They have not walked in my law or in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to dwell there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die from the least to the greatest by the sword and by famine, and they shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt, God says, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah. And a few more words. He's basically saying to them, there's a reason Jerusalem and Judah are like they are. There's a reason that I visited them in my anger. And here you are in Egypt. You saw what happened there. You know the reasons why. And you're doing the same things. So these verses are simply setting a stage for these next 2-3 verses that I want to focus on for a few minutes. God has spoken, okay? You still with me? Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, verse 16, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were well off, and saw no trouble. I know that this is a fair amount of verses to wrestle with and get our arms around. And we really need the whole chapter. We really need to read several chapters here to get the whole story of Jeremiah, the heart of this story. But my point comes to you a couple of things today. First of all, the warnings of God. These were his people. Okay, let's not be mistaken about who these people were. These were Jews. These were Israelites. These were remnant people of God. And the second point I want us to be mindful of is their attitude towards God's direction. I wonder, as we look at these verses, if we start to realize and formulate in our minds some similarities for today. Anybody, you still with me? That's warm in here. Don't get drowsy yet. We're not quite done. As we see these warnings of God clear, We see the callousness of his own people. We ain't going to listen. Do we start to see any similarities for today? These people had seen the destruction of Jerusalem. Some of them were there. These people that were kind of wandering around Judah had seen it after the Babylonians got done with it. They had seen it. They had heard now, some of these people, for 40 years. Jeremiah 6:26 to 5:86. For 40 years, they had heard Jeremiah's warnings, repent and come back to God or else. And the or else happened. It was Babylon. Some of these had heard that. Some of these had seen it firsthand. They had witnessed it. This group, at least some of them, had not only seen these walls in the temple come down and listened to Jeremiah for 40 years. Some of them also heard the word of the Lord that said, don't go down to Egypt. When you read the whole story, you'll see that God said, don't go down there. I'll make of you a remnant. I'll take care of you. And they said to Jeremiah, you're lying. We're going anyway. These people had seen all that. They lived through that. They'd experienced that. And Jeremiah, through God's word, reveals that all back out to them. And their word to him as, you know what? We don't care. Isn't that what they're saying in essence? You know what? We don't care. We ain't going to listen. Three questions for us to ponder for a minute. First one, I've mentioned already. Do you see any similarities today? This would mean, yes, I see a few. This would mean, no, I've never seen any. Work with me here, friends. We're similarities, friends. All we got to do is look around. All we've got to do is listen to some Christian radio. Read some Christian publications. There's similarities, brothers and sisters. Too many similarities. Striking similarities. In essence, thumbing their nose at God and saying, we don't care. Too many similarities today. And I'm wondering, as I read this passage from Jeremiah some time ago, I've read Jeremiah a lot of times, but this time this answer really stuck out to me. And I began to wonder, is today's society any different? Are we just saying, I'll take care of business myself? Without God's directive. When I think of society as a whole, I think God somewhat expects the world to just do their own thing. Don't you? You think that? I think that God kind of expects the world to do their own thing. Now listen to me for a second. Jesus told the religious people, you can find this in the Gospels, but Jesus told the religious leaders of that day, we are Abraham's children. Who are you? And Jesus reminded those religious people, unless you have been born again, your only father is the devil. You remember that story? And so, I think that God kind of expects the world to be disobedient and do their own thing. These people aren't the world. These are God's people. Just like the church today. Doesn't matter the name out here. If you've been born again, you're part of the church. And he was speaking to his people. And he's speaking to his people today. And I read this the other day with remorse and brokenheartedness, asking myself, are God's people even any different than this today? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? What do you mean? We know good and well, at least we should. If we are God's people, we should know what's in here. Shouldn't we? And yet we do our own thing. Oh, we may not be offering up incense to the Queen of Heaven. We may be not offering up incense to the gods of Egypt. But we're bowing down to all manner of other idols. The idol of self. The idols of pride, of lust, of greed. Give me more. Give me more. They got it. Why can't I have it? These idols we're bowing down to on a regular basis. And I wonder, are God's people any different today? We should know what the Word says. Just like they had heard directly from God, we have directly from God here. And when we take matters into our own hands and disregard the Word of God, in essence, we are saying, I know better than you, God. I'm going to go ahead and do it my way. We are in essence saying the same thing. We will not listen to you. I think, and I make up part of the church just like you do, I think the church should know about sin. It's in the Word. But it seems like today, well, it's the 21st century and we're pretty modern and we're pretty technologically advanced and all this other stuff. And it seems like, well, we just probably know better than God by now. It seems like. Because we fall into these traps that are bowing down to some other idol and in essence saying, we're not listening to you. People of God, I just want to ponder for a minute before we close. When we know in churches all over America, when we know what the Word of God says, we know what God is asking. You remember when Jesus came to the tax collector's table and said, Matthew, come follow me. His invitation was to Matthew and to Peter and Andrew and to James and John, come and be my followers. You know what else that meant? It didn't mean keep following the world. Come be my follower is what He beckoned them to do. And He beckons us the same way. Come and be my follower. And when we say, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be your follower, it means stop running with the world. I'm not talking about working our way to heaven here. I'm talking about being obedient to the Holy Spirit of God when we've been born again of the Son of God. And I think that we in the church should know what the Word of God is asking us to be His followers. And yet we are allowing the world and its allures to fashion us and to mold us. And we get sucked into the world's traps. And we are in essence saying, I will not listen to you, God, because the world's got a better plan for me. We're saying the same things when we fall into these traps. And I just want us to ponder for a moment. If we know what God is asking of us, and we know what the Bible says, and we just do our own thing, are we any different than the Jews that says, as for the word you spoke to us in the name of the Lord, we ain't going to listen. Are we any different than that? I bet that you would be like me. And you would say, you know what, I'd never say that against God's directive. I bet our mouth would say that, wouldn't it? But then sometime our actions are the other way around. I fear, brothers and sisters, and I make up the church too, I'm guilty, just like anybody and everybody else. I fear way too much of the church today is going to church on Sunday and living like the world on Monday. In essence saying, I'll do it my way. These people of God should have known better. Right? You agree with me? They're God's people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you remember the boys? Solomon, David, Josiah, all the kings. These people should have known better. And so should we. Every one of our homes has the Word in it. There are churches in every town in America. There's Christian radio stations. There's Christian TV stations. We should know better too. And so I'm just asking us today, please bear in mind, are we doing the same things that they did when they went to Egypt? We're not listening to you no more. Are we doing the same thing in any way, shape, or form? And if we are, may we repent and get back to God. And may I challenge us, church of God, people of God, may we never again find ourselves at that point that said, I'm not listening to you anymore. Because when we know what's in the Word, we know about God, we know about His ways and His precepts, and we go the other way, we are in essence saying the exact same thing. I'll do it my way. Thank you very much. And so, friends, I just want to ask you today to consider, is there anything in my life that is saying, I'm going to do it my way, just like they did? Is there anything? Because if there is, it has become an incense offering to the Queen of Heaven or to whatever else. It ain't God, that's for sure. And so I'm simply asking us to ponder for a moment this morning. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Are we letting the world mold us and shape us and form us into their mold? Jess, come on, let's play this last song. Have we surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Listen to me now, friends. These folks knew about God. They probably even attended the temple and the synagogue worship services. But their hearts were far from God. And if you haven't trusted Christ as Lord today, may I encourage you to cry out to the Lord today for forgiveness of sin, redemption, and salvation in Christ. There's no salvation under any other name but Jesus. And so while we're singing this last song, I want you to make sure you're not falling into that trap that they fell into. We are not falling into that trap by saying, I'm going to go ahead and do it my way. I know what the Lord wants and I know what the Lord says, but I'm going this way. Because we're just as guilty then as they are. Then we need to repent of that today, friends. And if we've never trusted Christ as Lord, we've never surrendered completely and let Him lead our lives, we need to do that today before another day is too late. This song is on page 338. While we're singing this song, if you want to pray with me, I'm going to be up here. I'll pray with you. You want to come to the altar and kneel before God? Then the altar is available. Song will be on the big screen. It's in 338. Let's stand together and sing.